Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Chicago Bears. This is the Bears Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Bears Wire editor, Alyssa Barbieri.
Welcome to the show. As promised, after our draft recap episode, we're back on here to talk about schedule day, which was a week ago, Alyssa, but that's just how it worked with our schedule, right? So we're doing schedule day this week. But you've been churning out some articles on Bears Wire about this very subject. Seems like, first and foremost, as we get into this, the one thing working in the Bears' favor for diehard fans is that they're definitely going to have one of the easiest schedules in football, right? When you start looking at this schedule and how it's laid out, like, they could win some games. Like, I don't think they're gonna, they're definitely not the worst team in football, and I don't think their record at the end of the year is going to reflect that either. I think if you're a diehard that wants the Bears to win, and you're not worried about the draft and all that crap and tanking, which I'm definitely on the side of don't tank, try to win. It's like the culture you want. The Bears are going to win some games this year, and it's just a matter of which ones.
Yeah, that was the first thing that I think we knew this even before the schedule was released, but they had a favorable slate in 2022. And like on paper, it looks like they could win, you know, quite a few games. But then at the same time, this is the Bears, and, you know, paper just doesn't translate to what actually happens in real life. But, you know, like you said, looking at, you know, some of the opponents they're facing, like Houston and the Giants and the Jets and Detroit, obviously, and Atlanta, like there are definitely some winnable games here. I mean, even when I was going through, because it's way too early to start predicting games, but I have to, like, that's part of the business. That's why we have a whole day, you know, and post day and the second day, the next day, like, dedicated to the schedule release. It's because we need this kind of, you know, analysis. We're supposed to do this. So, but I was still trying not to be overly optimistic, because this is normally a time when you look at the schedule like, okay, yeah, you kind of have them winning more games than they probably will. Like, it's before the season starting and before, you know, maybe they go 0-2 at the start, right? So like you're feeling a little confident, but I tried even then to not be overly confident, like kind of even looking at like the Detroit matchup, because, you know, Detroit, obviously they've gotten better this offseason. So those aren't gimme games anymore. Like, you know, I see them kind of splitting that series. So, I mean, but overall the schedule is just very, the way that it kind of like played out, like I see a couple of maybe difficult stretches in terms of hard opponents, the week 14 bye week, that's pretty brutal for this team. And then, you know, I think the thing that stands out is the first 2 weeks that they open at home against the 49ers, and then they have to go to Lambeau in prime time to play the Packers. And that just, it's just, that's going to be probably, that could very well be, it probably will be an 0-2 start right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's a rough start versus San Francisco at Green Bay, two of the better teams, I think, in the NFC. That's a painful start, but yeah, you talked about the winnable games. Let's go. I got nine winnable matchups for the Bears. Home versus Houston week 3, at the Giants week 4, home versus Washington on a Thursday night in week 6. Good to be home in that game. At the Falcons in week 11. That seems easier, right, Alyssa? Because Marcus Mariota is the quarterback and Calvin Ridley is suspended for the whole year, right? The Bears are at the Jets in week 12. I don't care if the Jets had a good draft or if they're building around Zach Wilson. I hate the Jets with a passion. So go Bears, go. Like, beat the Jets,
go Bears.
And the Jets blow. So go get them. And then those two divisional games each against the Vikings, which are, it's just a mediocre team with a bad quarterback. Didn't Kirk Cousins throw for like under 100 yards against the Bears this year or something? Last year?
Oh my God,
something like that.
That was when the entire secondary and defense was just annihilated by COVID too. Like,
yeah,
he couldn't
complete a pass in that game. It was like wild. So yeah, the Vikings are very mediocre. The Lions are bad. Maybe they're up and coming. You know, maybe you're a Dan Campbell fan and you think the Lions are up and coming. But let's, as you wrote on Bears Wire, Alyssa, Jared Goff is still the quarterback. Jared Goff is awful. Lions games are always winnable for the Bears. So I've got 9 winnable matchups. The question is, how many of those 9 are they going to win? And I want to give you credit because you picked 7-10. You picked 7-10 on Bears Wire. So I'm like, all right, let's pull up the Tipico sports book. Let's, you know, the app. Let's see what the over-under is. And they've got the over-under at 6.5. So you have the Bears going slightly over, which is the favorite at minus 145. So the Bears are favorite, Alyssa, to finish with seven or more wins. You have them at seven. You're right on the money here. So you're not really riding the fence, but you're not going on one extreme or the other. You're not being overly optimistic. I think you nailed it with 7-10.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they read my mind or something. But, you know, like, I mean, you look at the schedule, it is very favorable. I didn't want to give them too much credit at this point or not give them enough, because there's just, they have one of the easiest, I'm not sure what, but it's like top five easiest schedules in the league this year. They could easily win more than the 6.5 that Tipico has in my over-under, more than the 7 that I predicted. But I feel like I'm trying not to get overly optimistic at this point. But on paper, it looks like a really good schedule for the Bears. But as a Bears fan and someone who's been following this team for a long time and has kind of seen some of these dumpster fires, and, you know, with all the concerns this offseason, I'm not getting my hopes up, let's just say.
No, yeah. And I think while 7-10 is a perfect prediction, it's right in line with the odds makers, it might be overly optimistic, right? It might actually be overly optimistic when you think about it. I mean, of the 9 winnable matchups we went over, and I think we all agree, I think you and I and probably most Bears fans agree that those are 9 winnable games for the Bears, even with their roster as it is. 5 of those are on the road. You have a second-year quarterback. You know, Justin Fields, we love him. We're rooting for him. It's a second year. First full year as the starter. First full year as the number one guy. Remember, Andy Dalton was QB1 last year. So it's his first full year. He's got a first-year offensive coordinator. He's got a first-year head coach. He's got a young offensive line. He's got suspect offensive weapons, right? And, you know, really, when you look at it, it's kind of a retooled defense, too. You lost your leader on that side of the ball, or one of your leaders, I guess, Khalil Mack. You added rookies at corner and safety who are probably both going to start or play a lot, as we talked about last week. So there will be growing pains. There will be rough patches, Alyssa. I don't think the Bears will be the worst team in the league by any means. And I don't want them to tank. Like I said, that's ridiculous. I'm not somebody who roots for tanking. But I don't really agree with some of the fans on Bears Twitter that are saying, you're sleeping on this team. You know, like, I don't know if I agree with that. I think 6.5 is a fair number. I think I'm leaning under. I think it's a little too optimistic to say 7 or 8 wins. I think that's best case scenario. You know what I mean? I think what you laid out on Bears Wire, the 7-10, that's if everything kind of goes the Bears way, kind of goes perfectly. I could easily see it ending up with an under. I think if I had to make a prediction right now based on just the newness of all the key parties, right? The coach, the GM, the coordinator, the quarterback, the offensive line has some young guys. The both tackles are second-year players. We have rookies playing prominent roles on defense this year, right? I could easily see it seeing the Bears have some rough games, losing some games they probably could have won, and this ends up as a 5 or 6 win season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember which outlet, but I saw that someone had the Bears going 3-14, and I was just like, okay, come on now. Are you looking at their schedule? Like,
that's
this year?
That's a little too much on the other side, right?
Yeah, unless it's just a complete dumpster fire, which I don't see it being that. I know that they lost, you know, a lot of veterans, especially, you know, on offense with Allen Robinson, and, you know, on defense, obviously, with Khalil Mack. I mean, like, they lost some players, but at the same time, you get a better coaching staff in place. And yes, they are learning a new system on offense and on defense. But I think with better coaching, and they've added some pieces as well. Like you said, like, on defense, I expect them to be much better than they were last year, which I think will definitely help the offense out. So I just don't see, when you have some of these opponents that, even though they've added to their roster and improved to a degree, they've kind of been stuck at the same position. And when you look at these struggling franchises, I mean, like, I don't see how the Bears only beat 3 of them. Like, like you said, I could see maybe 6-11 again, maybe is 6-11. I don't even think I could go 5-12.
Yeah.
Like, as my basement, so to say. So, like, very, very favorable schedule. We'll see how it works out. But like you said, there are going to be some games that they should win, and they probably don't. There might be a game that they had no chance in hell in winning, and they probably do, right? There's always one of those, and it'll probably be at the end of the year when they're jockeying for draft position. You know what I mean? Like, yep, they're going to end up beating the Vikings in that last week, and they're going to have a lower draft or a higher draft pick, I guess. Well, lower, technically. So, I mean, the schedule, it's laid out for the Bears to get some wins here. And I don't think necessarily, like we mentioned last week, that them having a losing record or going 6-11 or 7-10 this year would be a complete failure because then you get a higher draft pick. I think, obviously, as we mentioned, like every time we come on this podcast, as long as Justin Fields is making progress, and if we, as long as we see progress from the defense, I think, too, given the commitment to that unit in the draft, as long as we see like those things and the team building as a whole, they're not in a super rush. I think that we've always said that 2023 is going to be the year where we expect Ryan Poles to kind of go all in at that point because they're going to have more cap flexibility. Hopefully, you know that you got your quarterback or not in Justin Fields. We'll see. So, I mean, the schedule itself, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah,
really pretty good. Because I mean, 2022 could be ugly, but the schedule, at least it's not going to be like the Red Wedding.
Yeah. There'll be some bright spots, and it's just a good number by Tipico. 6.5 is a good number. If it was 7.5, I'd hammer the under. But 6.5 is right there. I think you can have a good healthy debate. Are they going to go over? Are they going to go under? I guess leaning under right now. I reserve the right to change my mind, Alyssa, if they start winning. But this could be a streaky kind of season, the way the schedule's set up. I agree with you 100%. You said probably 0-2. I'm with you. San Francisco and then at Green Bay to start the year in primetime at Green Bay. No shot, right? No shot. They're going to be 0-2. They're going to be 0-2. That's a rough start.
I am going to watch the first week. I think it'll be interesting. Obviously, it's going to be Justin Fields versus Trey Lance. That's going to be it. That would be Trey Lance's first, you know, technically first start as the starting quarterback. Yep, and there are some growing pains with that.
And they're home.
If you remember, Justin Fields had his way with the 49ers defense at times last year. So the issue with that game for the Bears last year was the defense and the breakdowns there in the second half. So, like, that game, I think, could be a lot closer than people give him credit for. At the same time, I'm not confident enough in this current squad to say that they're going to beat the 49ers, but I think that could be much closer. But week two at Lambeau, no way in hell.
Yeah, forget about it. Forget about it. That's the one you forget about. I remember last year we talked about, I mean, first of all, the highlight of Fields scrambling around, scoring that rushing touchdown is like the highlight of his rookie season, right? I mean, that's one that's been playing on repeat. But we said going into that game, the Bears could win this if they just tackle Deebo Samuel. Just tackle him. And there's not much else the 49ers could do. Well, the Bears did not tackle Deebo Samuel in that game. I think he scored like an 80-something yard screen pass or some crap. So we were just had spot-on analysis, as usual, Alyssa, going into it. So could start 0-2, best-case scenario 1-1. But then, like, week 3 through 6, you got Houston, Giants, Vikings, and then the Washington Commanders, right? So, like, those are some winnable games in there. And then they have a tough stretch. At New England, at Dallas, versus Miami. Those are three teams that I think are going to be pretty good competing for playoff berths. So that could be a losing stretch. But then you pick it up again. You got Lions, Falcons, Jets. So maybe you go a little way. So this could be a streaky schedule when you look at it from a bird's eye view. You know, could lose a couple, win a couple, lose a couple, win a couple type deal. And then it'll be fun to see where they're at come like week 13 when they have to play Green Bay again at home in December. What's the record? Where are they at? Are they in the playoff hunt? Like, what's going on? It'll be fascinating, but I think it's going to be streaky. It's going to be a streaky kind of year.
Yeah, definitely. And we were talking about it before we did our show about how they have three primetime games again, and that is the Justin Fields factor. It's also the Chicago market is huge. Yep. So, and the Bears-Packers rivalry, they were always, I think it's, what is this now? Since 2005, the Bears and Packers have played a primetime game. So it's been a while. That's a streak that's never going to end. Probably until both teams are bad, and I can't wait till the Packers are bad. But, you know, when you look at their primetime games, it's very interesting because if you notice, all three of them happen within the first 7 weeks, which I think speaks volumes about how the NFL thinks the Bears season's going to go. They still have a chance in the beginning, but then it's going to get worse, and they don't expect them to be contenders down the line. I mean, hopefully they prove everybody wrong. If they end up, you know, getting any games flexed to primetime, which, I mean, I don't really see that. But, you know, at the same time, not to bring Matt Nagy into this, but I remember the 2018 season heading into that, no one was giving them a chance at all. And then that just, you know, because you never know. I mean, you really don't. So, I mean, I just found it very interesting that you could see the league just kind of, yes, they want the Justin Fields of it all. They want the Chicago market. So they're like, okay, we're going to give you three primetime games, but we're going to stick in the beginning of the season because we don't really foresee you doing much.
Oh, yeah. The NFL does that all the time. Like that opening Monday night game. I don't know if they're still doing two Monday night games. I should look that up, but that's my bad there. But That opening Monday night game, week one, Broncos at Seahawks. So Russell Wilson goes back to Seattle. Our friend Russell Wilson from the program here, but last summer, right? We talked about him a lot. But they're doing that because
Almost bear.
Yeah. The almost bear, Russell Wilson. In our dreams, he was a bear. But they're only doing that and giving Seattle that primetime game at home is because Russell Wilson's coming home. First of all, he's coming back to his old, it's his first game with Denver, and Seattle's going to blow with Drew Locke. So they better do that week one. Let's not wait around too long because Seattle could be 0-5, right? So the NFL does that all the time. It is a great point by you. Three primetime games for the Bears. It's three more than the Lions. Lions got zero. So not to crap on the Lions too much, but the Lions got zero. So there's our schedule talk. Let us know what you think on Twitter. How many games are the Bears going to win? You over under on 6.5? I'm interested to hear how Bears fans feel about that. But I did want to get to some other notes while we're on the air here, Alyssa. Before we head into these summer months and things slow down a little bit, Tariq Cohen. This is a really sad story. Actually, I'm kind of bummed out by this. Tariq Cohen. He was cut by the Bears this offseason, obviously. Still working his way back from those past knee surgeries, and he ruptured his Achilles tendon, Alyssa, while live streaming a workout on Instagram. So he's been trying to work his way back. He's a free agent, trying to prove that he's healthy. He's trying to put a video clip on social to kind of show his progress, and he ruptures an Achilles tendon. Like, as a Bears fan, you hear that? That's gotta hurt. Like, you feel that in your gut a little bit, right? This is uncomfortable hearing that news. You know, I'm not even a diehard Bears fan, and I heard that news about Tariq Cohen, and I felt awful for the guy. I mean, this could be a career ender for him, and it's just a super sad story.
Yeah, it's just been a really brutal couple of years for him. You know, I remember when he first came in the league in 2017 as a fourth round pick, and just like he kind of just immediately kind of shot. He looked like he shot out of a cannon. I'm like, oh, this kid's special. I mean, yeah, he's small because right there are some people that mock him because of his height, but man. He was a playmaker on the field in 2017 and 2018, you know, that one year when Matt Nagy's offense kind of worked, you know, right? Cohen was a big part of that. And just to kind of see, like, I still remember when he tore his ACL, it was on a punt return. And it was just like, oh, like you see so many other athletes kind of come back from those injuries. So I think the first reaction was like, oh man, this sucks, but you know, he'll be back.
Yep.
And he'll get back to form and he'll be able to contribute.
See you 2021. Yeah. Exciting. We all expected him back. Yeah,
exactly. And like, I think that the Bears offense and Matt Nagy's offense at the time, I think he really needed, you know, a Tariq Cohen in the offense, which unfortunately he didn't come back last year because he's still struggling to rehab from it. There was speculation about whether he had a second surgery because Matt Nagy would never really confirm anything. It was just always like, nope, not saying anything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just to kind of see that though, because even when the Bears released him, well, as a post June 1st cut, just to see, like, even though he was released, there were so many Bears fans that the first reaction was like, oh man, get well soon. We want to see you succeed somewhere else. Right. And like to see him kind of like training and he's still trying to find that right team. And then to see that happen and to see it to see it live streamed and to happen in real time and just to see him kind of collapse and grab at his Achilles. And like, you could like kind of see his face too. It was brutal because you don't want that to happen to anybody.
No.
And especially for Cohen, who has just gone through so much. Like you really hope that isn't a career ender. You really hope that in the next couple of years here, he'll be one of those, like we mentioned before the show, you talked about Ryan, maybe him being one of that comeback player of the year stories. And I really, really, truly hope so because he's a great guy. He's a great football player. And like, you just don't want to see something like that happen to someone like Cohen.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned 2018. I have the stats in front of me because it really illustrates where he was. So as you mentioned, a fourth round pick, you know, you start picking running backs past the third round. It gets a little dicey, right? For guys to stick. So they pick Cohen in the fourth round. He's stuck, right? I mean, in 2018, he rushed for 444 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he caught 71 passes for 725 extra yards, Alyssa, and 5 more scores. I mean, he was an absolute weapon, and that was his second year. That was his second year in 2018. So,
and that was when Jordan Howard was the primary tailback, he wasn't a starter, and he was getting that kind of production.
I mean, 71 catches out of the backfield, that's good stuff. I mean, that's a weapon for you. That's something the defense has to respect every game. And that was when he first came into the league. Now, he took a minor step back in 2019. He didn't put up those those gaudy numbers again, but I mean, those numbers in 2018 were ridiculous, and the Bears weren't as good in 2019. But then, yeah, as you, I mean, he tears the knee ligaments early in 2020, misses the entire 2021 season rehabbing those same injuries, and now early in the 2022 offseason, you know, he gets released, and then he suffers what, you know, who knows? It could be a career ender. I mean, he couldn't get his knee healthy, so now it's like you're still kind of dealing with the knee, still rehabbing that. Now you have to start all over on the Achilles. Like, that is just, it kills you. It kills you, right? And then, and this is, it's either going to be a career ender or a documentary of some sort, right? Like, you know, an NFL comeback player of the year with Tariq Cohen coming back and playing meaningful snaps again in the NFL, right? That's what I think we're all rooting for now. You know, I hope Bears fans are rooting for Tariq Cohen to make that comeback, but you wonder if he even has it in him mentally, right? To like start over after trying to come back from an injury for 2 whole years and now start over with the Achilles. I mean, you wonder if he has it in him mentally to fight back, you know?
Yeah, no, that's interesting you said that, because Cohen, I forget where, it was with an interview with somebody where he mentioned that, like, the reason why he didn't come back in 2021, and a lot of it was part of not only just the physical rehab, but the mental rehab. He was afraid to kind of get back out there, that he wasn't the same, that he could re-injure it. Like, so it's definitely, you look at that situation, and then you fast forward to what he just did now, and what happened to him just now, and that's just, That's brutal. I can't imagine what, you know, what's going on in his head now, but he's a strong guy. I think that he'll try to battle back as much as he can and try to get back there. And I think we all really hope that he does.
Yep. Just a shame, that story. That was a gut punch early this week. So you feel for Cohen, you're rooting for Cohen. Okay. Another topic I wanted to get to as we clean out the notebook here, Alyssa, is on a lighter note, Nathan Peterman. Nathan Peterman's on the Bears, right? So let's get back to our normal tone here. Again, we wanted to make sure we covered Cohen properly, but Nathan Peterman's a Bear. I mean, I will say this. I respect Bears fans so much, because the first thing I did was go on Twitter to see what Bears fans' reactions were, where literally we got done recording last week's episode. That thing was edited in, like, in the queue to post, and then this news broke. And we're like, oh, no. We missed the Nathan Peterman news. We got to come back on next week and do this. But as soon as we, you know, exchanged texts, as, you know, in real time, Alyssa, what happened, I went on Twitter, and Bears fans were amazing. I mean, a lot of, forget it, Ryan Poles, GM of the year, Bears winning the Super Bowl, forget it, we got Nate Peterman, like, a lot of sarcasm. I just appreciated it so much. But I think collectively we're all like, huh? Like, what? This guy has been just an abject failure in his career so far. His stats are really bad. We can get into him, but Nathan Peterman, what the hell is he doing? Why is Nathan Peterman the third string quarterback for the Bears now, Alyssa? What do you think?
I have no idea, but I can tell you that it just makes all the sense in the world, considering just how bad the history that the Bears have at the quarterback position.
Yeah,
like,
it just,
I mean,
sums it up,
and
right?
He's not even the starter, but like, it just kind of lines up with the Bears' history of terrible quarterbacks. I mean, I saw that news and I was like, are you serious? I'm like, why? Because, like, obviously Trevor Siemian's going to be Fields' backup. Ryan Poles came out and said it because he feels like, you know, he's better suited to back up Fields for whatever reason, but whatever. And you just got rid of Nick Foles and like, oh, Nathan Peterman. It's like, okay.
It,
I mean, this is a guy that threw 5 interceptions in 1 half of football, yep, who has a career quarterback rating in the higher 30s. Like, I'm just, let's get one thing straight though. He's not going to be on the roster. He's a camp body. So, I mean, like, the Bears are not carrying 3 quarterbacks again this year, because they're not paying Peterman full type money that they actually have to keep him on the roster. So, I mean, it's another move where, Ryan, I'm just going to say, it's just kind of, it's hard being a Bears fan, because
it just reminds you, right?
Mockery.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, they've been made a mockery this entire offseason. You have, like, all these little moves that Poles is doing, and people are just laughing and laughing. And Peterman is just, like, the ultimate laugh. And it's just, I'm still at a loss for words. But at the same time, I know he doesn't factor into the plans. So it's not really too much of a big deal. But, I mean,
yeah,
when you hear Nathan Peterman and the Bears actually signed him, I mean, people are just like, oh, Brian Poles,
yeah,
what are you doing?
You can't react with anything but sarcasm, because other than, it's just disbelief. Other than that, I mean, so he's a career 52% passer, Three career touchdowns, 12 picks in 130 pass attempts. He's just very, very bad. I mean, that's an interception every 10 or 11 passes. And you said his quarterback rating is in the 30s? Career quarterback rating?
Yes, his career quarterback, it was high 30s. I don't remember it offhand. I saw that and I was like, oh,
yes.
That explains a lot.
So that reminds me of like the SATs where you get some credit for spelling your name right. Like a quarterback, there's like a baseline. Like it's like impossible for a quarterback rating to be like below 50, right? Like if you're just like, that's like spelling your name right as a quarterback, as a professional quarterback. Like how is your career quarterback rating? Like maybe you have one horrible game, right? Where you have a bad quarterback rating like that. But how's your career quarterback rating under 40? Like that's almost seems impossible with that formula. I don't know. You have
that's
to
actually pretty impressive. Like yeah. The one time Cody Parkey managed to hit the uprights on all four of missed field goals against the Lions in 2018. Like, I mean, it's like you couldn't do that.
You're
if you actually tried. You couldn't do that stuff if you tried to. Like, how do you – I don't get how he has a career quarterback rating under 40, like you said. I don't – like, how many games did he have a zero? I just – like, I want to know. I got to go back and look at this.
Yeah, you have to have three touchdowns, and you have to have, like, three times as many interceptions as – or four times as many interceptions as touchdowns for that to happen because it's weighted like that. So, yeah, just incredible – the Nate Peterman news. I agree with you 100%. We actually texted back and forth in real time being like, he's got to be just a body. There's no way he's going to be on the roster. And I can't find, like you go on Spotrack or whatever, the you know those sites that track the salaries. I can't even find his salary, Alyssa. Like it's like a mystery of how much he's getting paid. It's got to be the bare minimum, right?
It's got to be the bare minimum. Yeah.
But this has got me thinking, and maybe you can school me on this, on why this happened. So it brings us back to our really fun conversation. I'm going to go back to our Nick Foles conversation. I miss Nick Foles already. And I know we said goodbye to him last week, but I need to come back to Nick Foles because I'm obsessed with that story and I'm just going to do it one more time. So it is kind of funny that the Bears would cut Nick Foles and eat the $7.6 million dead cap hit, right, this year to create around $3 million of cap space. And then use some of that space to sign literally the worst quarterback I've ever seen, Nate Peterman, right? I mean, hopefully I don't confuse people because I'm going to confuse myself because math is not my strong suit. But, you know, was it really worth it? Because Foles had guarantees in his contract this year. The Bears couldn't avoid it. They paid him a $4 million roster bonus back in March when he was still on the roster. So they paid Foles a $4 million bonus. And then they had to still pay him another million in guarantees when they cut him. Because he had $4 million left on his deal, but $1 million was guaranteed. So that's how they saved the $3 million. So you paid Foles of the $8 million he was owed, $5 million this year, and then cut him. And with that $3 million that you saved, well, you're kind of paying Trevor Siemian and Peterman probably combined around $3 million in 2022. So it just got me thinking like, man, now I don't think they did Foles dirty, Alyssa. Actually, I think they treated him very well because, as I said, they paid him $5 million in real money. And let him go to free agency. So, like, I guess for Foles, that's a good thing. He can now decide what he wants to do. He already got paid for this year, and he can decide what he wants to do. Does he want to play for someone else? We'll find out. But I feel like Foles is better than Siemian and Peterman put together. And it's probably because Siemian sucks, but Peterman even weighs him down more when you put the two together, right? But I think Foles is better than both of those quarterbacks. You're paying those two $3 million. That's basically what you saved by cutting Foles. So why couldn't we have just said, all right, we're paying Foles $5 million out of the $8 million anyway because of the guarantees. Why don't we just keep Foles as the backup this year? And it's Justin Fields with Foles backing him up. Foles has some chops. He's been around. He won a Super Bowl. He was a Super Bowl MVP. He's been around Chicago, right? He was with Fields last year as the, you know, the best third stringer in NFL history, right? The highest paid third stringer in NFL history. I'm sure he was good with Fields in the room, right? In the quarterback room. Like, wouldn't Fields get a lot more this year as the guy with Foles as his backup than he would with Siemian and Peterman? It's just kind of weird how that Foles situation played out now that Foles is gone and Peterman and Siemian are here. It's just kind of strange when you look at the money, how that all played out. So school me on that. Did you understand anything I just said? I feel like I just, like, blacked out as I was talking.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I would give me Nick Foles over Trevor Siemian or Nathan Peterman.
Yes.
Just because, you know, he's a veteran. He's won a Super Bowl. I mean, he came in off the bench, you know, to start last year against Seattle and led him to a win. Like, he's obviously not going to be your starter, but I thought especially like him behind Fields would work. But it comes down to what Ryan Poles wants, right? And, you know, yeah. Ryan Poles, a couple months ago, he mentioned that he thinks that Trevor Siemian is a better fit for Luke Getsy's offense in terms of, you know, kind of backing Fields up and being a similar quarterback, which kind of really didn't make sense to me because I'm like, there's Justin Fields and Trevor Siemian are not similar at all. So, I mean, I really don't get it because I completely agree with you. It's just, you know, hey, this is Ryan Poles building the roster he wants. Let's just hope, because if just something happens to Justin Fields, even for a week, it's going to be ugly. You know, one of those winnable games on the schedule, if Justin Fields is out for that week, it's maybe not so winnable anymore. So,
yeah,
the thought of Trevor Siemian coming in to relieve Fields is definitely nerve-wracking. Unless, you know, he's coming in off the bench after the Bears have scored 30 or 40 points. I can't even say it without laughing because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Unless it's against the Falcons. Who knows? Okay. So, I mean, like you said, see, I feel like I just blacked out like with that.
I definitely did. I'm just now coming to.
I would rather have Nick Foles. But again, this isn't my team. I'm not running it. So this is Ryan Poles. He sees something in Trevor Siemian. He even mentioned that he's someone, because he's been behind Peyton Manning and Drew Brees before, that he has a wealth of knowledge that he can bring to Justin. So it kind of sounds like maybe it could be for like a quarterback coach, but like at the same time, you do know that the quarterback coach that they have would have to go in at a moment's notice if needed. So he's not just there to help Justin. He's there to be a backup quarterback. So, I mean, but like you said, with Nick Foles, I think this new regime did more for Nick Foles than the old one did. So definitely. At least they let him go.
They did not do him dirty. They did him like Nick Foles can't be happier with how Ryan Poles treated him. Like, they paid him all his money and then like let him go. It's like amazing.
Yep.
Hey, can you imagine getting paid $5 million for what Nick Foles had to do in 2022, which was nothing? He didn't have to do anything. He'd just be on vacation, get paid $5 million. It's a pretty good deal.
He could have held him hostage for, you know, a few more months heading into training camp.
Yeah,
when,
totally.
You know, obviously when some people start getting hurt and people need backup quarterbacks, and he could have gotten a 7th-round pick for him. But, you know, he's like, clearly with that contract, and there wasn't a lot of, they couldn't find a trade partner, it just made sense to release him. And, you know, at least Poles just kind of did that and moved on.
Yeah, and at least Nate Peterman was out there. We could bring him in to help the room. So we know that. So basically what Poles is saying, Alyssa, is that we like Siemian more because Foles is a statue who runs like a wounded deer, right? That's basically what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
Yes, exactly.
He's saying Foles can't play anymore, guys.
Like, Siemian can't run like Fields, but he can move more than Nick Foles ever could back there.
Right. He's like Kyler Murray compared to Nick Foles, right? So that's basically probably what they're like. Why would they, with Foles' contract and how complicated it is and all that dead cap money, why would they do it? Because they don't think Foles can play and they're tired of paying him. Even that extra $3 million. So that's probably the answer. One thing Ryan Poles does not care about is dead cap money, Alyssa, right? $52.85 million in 2022. So they're paying all this dead money for guys they don't have anymore. Second most of the NFL. So 2023 in that regard cannot come soon enough, right? A lot of dead cap
money. And that's going to go up.
Yeah,
that's going to go up too. Once Danny Trevathan and Tariq Cohen releases become official.
Those are post June 1st. Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah.
So still not enough. Still not enough to eclipse the Falcons.
Okay, good. So they'll be second place. Good.
Also, Brian, going back to the schedule, just kind of, I'm probably throwing you out of whack.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I just mentioned the Falcons. Ryan Pace is there, and Phil Emery, the Bears' two former GMs, and the Bears play the Falcons this year in Atlanta. That's an interesting one to watch right there.
What a storyline. We will pump the crap out of that. We'll find a way. What's Pace doing?
We're going to have a Ryan Pace week here.
Yeah. Ryan Pace versus Ryan Poles. Let's do that. That'll be fun.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. All right. So one more thing we wanted to get to was just maybe let's talk about the depth chart, like the projected depth chart, right? Like, we talked about the projected schedule projected wins based on the schedule, I should say, Alyssa, but how about the depth chart? Like, what are your biggest surprises? What are your huge concerns? You've kind of put the depth chart together for the Bears Wire. You put it up there. Fans can find that this week. As we speak, I'm sure it's up there. It's easy to find. What worries you the most, right? Is it like Sam Mustafa, who you have as the starting right guard? That worries me. We could talk about the Bears signing their rookie Valus Jones Jr. to a 4-year contract, as we talked about. he's probably going to start and play a lot with Darnell Mooney and Byron Pringle. That's what we're all expecting. And maybe how they use the rookies, right? Jones, Brisker, Gordon, all these guys getting thrown into the fire. In terms of the depth chart, what stands out to you? What concerns you the most? What do you think could be a surprise?
I mean, I'm still going to say it, that the receiving core obviously just makes me a little nervous. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not good either. I mean, Darnell Mooney is the only really proven guy there. You have a lot of veterans that have kind of served in supporting roles in the past. Bayless Jones Jr., I'm really looking forward to him. I do think Byron Pringle could have a big year if this offense kind of really takes it to the next level. But like you mentioned, probably my biggest concern right now is the offensive line, specifically that right guard position. Because when you look at the current roster, looking kind of back at voluntary minicamp and OTAs, they have Sam Mustipher lining up at right guard right now. So, I mean, that's indicative of what they kind of project right now. I'm hoping that that's not the case, because I don't think he's going to be the right guard when the season starts. They could go out and make a move. They could do some shuffling along the offensive line, because they have some veteran tackles and even rookie tackles that, you know, maybe like Braxton Jones impresses enough, or Julian Davenport, who's a veteran, like maybe he impresses enough and you can maybe kick, you know, put him at left tackle and move Bourne back to right tackle, kick Kevin Jenkins to right guard. Like, I mean, like, sure. There's a lot of positioning that they're doing, a little jockeying of position, different positions. They're experimenting with it because they really don't know. I think the only two positions I would say are set at this point would be Lucas Patrick at center and Cody Whitehair at left guard. Other than that, it's just kind of up in the air right now. So that's a little unnerving. But yeah, that right guard spot, which going back even a few years, like, it's always like right guard, it feels like, yeah, aside from the tackle position. So, I mean, that's definitely a concern. I think on defense, I don't really think I have any concerns necessarily. I kind of like,
you feel good about,
I have
that unit.
Kyler Gordon.
Yeah,
I do. I especially feel good. And it's really weird to say this about the secondary, because of like those moves that Poles made in the draft with Kyler Gordon. I think he's going to start right away. And he actually mentioned, Bears defensive coordinator Alan Williams mentioned that Kyler Gordon's going to be starting outside opposite Jalen, even though he can play in the nickel as well. But they didn't want to overload his plate as a rookie. So potentially down the line, we could see maybe Kyler Gordon even move to the slot. So, like, I mean, I'm confident with that. I'm really – with Eddie Jackson and Jaquan Brisker, I think they're going to be a good duo. I'm feeling confident about that. It's even though the defense is coming off a pretty brutal year, and there was actually something – Jalen Johnson met with the media earlier this week at OTAs.
Yeah, I saw that.
And yeah, how they were, someone was telling him how bad the defense was last year.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate
and his
that.
Face, yeah. He was not having it, but like they were reading out stats and like, okay, what is it ranked? And like, it was not having it. I don't foresee that same thing happening. But for how bad this defense was last year, I have more faith in them than the offense probably right now, just because there's so many more questions, I think. But yeah, looking at the depth chart, I think for the most part, it's kind of set in stone, but there are certainly some positions that I think will definitely change as we head into training camp, preseason, and then the regular season.
Yeah, Jalen Johnson even told us too, like Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon, they're going to get thrown right to the fire. So that's what we're expecting. A lot of rookies developing, learning on the fly. I'm with you. I feel you. You're kind of convincing me not to worry about the defense, but you know, your only real concerns are the offensive line protecting Fields and his receivers. So, what could go wrong, Alyssa? Really? I mean,
new? I feel like that's just it's kind of the same thing.
No, we're not worried about,
but at least quarterback.
Yeah,
at least quarterback's not a concern.
We feel good about the quarterback, although he needs to improve as well. You know, so
yeah,
the question marks remain on offense, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But great stuff as always, Alyssa, for you, from you this offseason, draft coverage, post draft coverage, schedule day. Be working your butt off, doing great work for the Bears Wire. I don't know if you can find a beach or something over the next, you know, several weeks, couple months, when the NFL actually does take a little bit of a break. I hope you can relax a little bit.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm gonna start with Memorial Day coming up.
Beautiful.
In a couple weeks, I mean, this is the time. I mean, they're about to break. Well, actually, in June they'll break before training camp, and in June, so that'll definitely be kind of like some time to kind of relax. Even though there's there's never an off day.
No,
for me,
you
know, but
you could be writing a story from the beach on your phone if you had to.
Exactly. There we go. Now we're talking.
100%. Well, I'll spend the next few, the next few weeks trying to figure out how to continue to talk about Nick Foles. Try to keep him in our rotation. Because
Picked up by another team.
Yeah, exactly. We could find a way.
We might have to do another emergency Nick Foles podcast.
Yeah, I do love how my that ended up being my rant of the week, kind of unofficially. And it was about how I love Nick Foles and want him to be the backup quarterback of the Bears. So I just can't get over that. I'm scarred from them releasing him and it being over. So much fun as always doing this with you, Alyssa. Again, I hope you get a nice break. Bears fans, we appreciate you. Don't forget to hit subscribe. Stay with us. Keep an eye on Bears Wire for future podcast episodes. They might come a little bit sporadically throughout the offseason, but when news breaks, Alyssa and I will be on here to talk about it. Let us know how many wins you think the Bears are going to get, the over-under 6.5. Let us know on Twitter. We appreciate you. And Alyssa, you know how to sign us off.
Bear down.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.